Good afternoon and thanks, Dan. I try to behave and not to go beyond your 15-minute deadline. First of all, let me introduce myself and pronounce my last name correctly. My last name is Thananchai Wattana. I'm from Thailand. And I'm very unique in the process because my last name is very long and almost the longest, so it's very easy to remember, actually. I'm representing the UNFCCC Secretariat. I'm the manager of the Technology Sub Program. I'm actually going to support, facilitate, and help party draft the final text of the Copenhagen Agreement on Technology Transfer. What I heard from this morning up to now is start to make me a bit nervous on this issue. Why? We have 146 days to go until we reach Copenhagen deal. And if you calculate correctly, from next session in Bonn, Bangkok, Barcelona, and Copenhagen, we have 30 working days to do. And within these 13 days, we only have allocated very few time for technologies. Given that this is the constraint that we're going to have on timing, on the complexity of the issue, I'm very reluctant to tell you that there are a lot of issues on the table on technology transfer, and we have to deal with those, and IP is one of them. Can I ask a very simple question? Can we leave Copenhagen without any reference to IP issue in the text of the Copenhagen deal? If the answer is yes, so we can all go home, and there's no discussion here. But the answer is no, then you guys make me worried from what I heard today and start to be panicked because we have 36 pages of technology text. And including that, 4 pages is on IP, and the text is full of bracket with unmanageable and unreadable, and I don't know how we're going to get there. Somebody tried to tell me that, Wanna, this is a non-issue, this is not your business, this is the WTO. We cannot talk about this in the UNFCCC process. And some came to me and saying that, we cannot leave Copenhagen with this deal. Without this deal, we're going to have a very frustrated negotiation and it might spill over. So let's try to calm down and see how we're going to handle this. In the technology tech that I have, we have at the moment, I just have want to walk it through very quickly. Outline that I'm going to explain about the key role of technology in the climate change process and how should IP or patents related aspect be handled by UNFCCC. First of all, this morning, I'm not going to repeat of what the Director General of the BMO already emphasized this morning and how important is the climate change issue. It's no time to waste, there's no time to lose on this because the impact is unlikely to happen and the magnitude of the problem is going to increase if you don't act today. Because whenever you get agreement today, it would take time for everything to implement and also to make an impact on the global emission, greenhouse gas stabilization in the atmosphere. So we have to act fast and we have to get agreement. And according to IEA, global energy demands will going to grow up by 60% by 2030. And up to 2030, energy supply infrastructure need investment will triple up to 20 trillion, more than half that needed in developing country. What we are talking in the climate change process, we're talking about mitigation technology and we're talking about adaptation technology. What are they? Now, we only deal with the context of the climate change convention that we have certain article to go. We have article 4.5 that's saying that the country should try to promote all the practical steps to promote, facilitate, appropriate technology transfer. And also we have 4.7 that talk about the extent to which the ring country can effectively implement their commitment. We rely on the support of technology and finance by developed country parties. And we have Article 4.1c that we are looking at the moment in the Bali Action Plan is the common action by all parties that can mitigate climate change. I'm not going to read all the provision. And also, technology has a role to play in both UNFCCC and the Kyoto Protocol. We provide opportunity for technology cooperation on development, deployment, diffusion, and transfer of technology for both. Now, what we're talking about the mitigation technology, as you can see, there are so many models that study and indicating that by 2030 or in the longer term, by 2100, the technology that the most needed would be on energy conservation or energy efficiency. Renewables, it can come up in the in the longer period, and also CCS. Somebody mentioned about whether the existing technology can do the job. There's emerging technology, which is CCS, carbon capture and storage, that can do the job, but it's going to cost a lot for the moment. So we need to bring the R&D and demonstration into this particular technology that can do the job, but going to bring the cost down. And issue of technology for adaptation may not, when we talk about green technology, some may think of only about mitigation, but technology for adaptation include traditional technologies, modern technology, high technology, or future technology. We're talking about the from adaptation to a very simple one up to Earth observation system, and also in the malaria or vaccination, that type of adaptation. In the past, I'm just give you a bit of background of how we deal with technology issue in the UNFCCC process. Since COP7 up to now, we have a certain set of activities encompassing technology transfer framework, which include technology need assessment, technology information, enabling environment, capacity building, and mechanism for tech transfer, including the establishment of the expert group on technology transfer, which you may be familiar with this EGTT acronym, in which Mr. Yuka Osukainen is one of the former EGTT chair that just gave presentation. In the technology need assessment, during the early day in the UNFCCC process, a party not really clear about what kind of technology we are talking about. What do we need? We have the first a workshop in Africa, and party talk about what technology. Do you have a list of technology that I would want, or can I apply to those technology? So it's not clear. So party agreed to set up the process for non-ANEC one party or neighboring country to undertake technology need assessment. And so far up to now, it's about 60 countries completed their technology need assessment or TNA report. And a secretariat has made a synthesis and compilation of this TNA second synthesis report, which contain a lot of interesting information, including some that highlight from the 39 national communications submitted by non-ANEC one parties. And this report on the second synthesis report contain a lot of highlights on priority technology needs by sectors and by region. I'm going to give you some example of what we talk about mitigation technology identified by country. The most needed or mentioned technology that needed is 42% is in energy sector, 25.5 on agriculture and forestry, and transport sector about 12.7, and industry 11.5. And on the right side on my slide, you see the little detail about the list of technology as needed, and waste about 7.9. Now we talk about adaptation technology. What are they? Agriculture came first, and forestry about 43%. And we have coastal zone sector by 15%, water resources 14.8, and as I mentioned earlier, systematic observation and monitoring 11.3%, and health sector come last at 9.1%. This is a natural disaster. This is the TNAs, or technology need identified by 69 countries. And at the moment in the negotiation, parties are looking at the way to use the information contained in this technology need assessment report as a kind of entry point into a NAMA. If you're not familiar, what is NAMA? NAMA is the National Appropriate Mitigation Action by Developing Country. The party are in the process of defining what developing country action could be or look like, and how this kind of action could be support through technology and through finance. And we're going to look onto the list of technology has been identified and see how NAMA. And in this TNA's report, many countries also report on barriers to technology transfer. Amazingly, if you look into the synthesis report, IP is not there, but it may be something hidden, because the most barrier that identify is economic and market, human and information and institutional, and about 4 or 5 countries name IP as one of the potential barriers. As way forward, our colleagues Gerardo Mercado already mentioned from Brazil this morning in detail about what Bali Action Plan include in the current negotiation. I'm not going to go in detail. But under the Bari Action Plan, we have five building blocks now. In fact, originally it's four. Now it become five. First is the chair vision. Second is mitigation. Third, adaptation. Fourth, technology. And fifth is finance. So technology is one of the building blocks under the Bali Action Plan. The key issue, we are trying to identify, we have clearly talking in-house about the first order of the clutch issue, second order of the clutch issue, and the third issue that could be issue that could frustrate negotiations and the quick win category of the issue. So what I'm presenting here is more or less is kind of first and combination of second issue. The key issue now is about institutional arrangement. Currently, we have EGTT, or Expert Group on Technology Transfer. Parties, particularly G77 in China, feel like the current arrangement, expert group advisory role, is not enough. It's not sufficient. They want to bring or upgrade EGTT to another level as a subsidiary bodies under the convention, report directly to the COP, and have the role to make some kind of decision-making process that link to the financing window that could be cleared on the multilateral technology fund that has some elements in this fund to buy down or to purchase the IPR or license for IPR. This is a proposal from Jason Sen in China. And we have another school of thought saying that perhaps we should strengthen the existing arrangement and we don't need to create a new financing or a fund because we should a lot of money is in the hand of private sector. Maybe we should use a bit of public funding just to leverage private investment and leave the market to drive the process and not to interfere that much. And as I said, that currently the financing issue are one of the crunch issue in the process. We are talking about the role of public and finance, private finance, either to create a new financing and put it under the convention. Yeah, and second is to keep existing one, to repackaging, reform it, and make, and third thinking is to combine the approach with a very limited fund to be created. This is the issue about financing. And the concrete support, because when we talk about the technology is not isolated issue under the package of Copenhagen Agreement. The agreement at the end, the target is for support action on mitigation and support action on adaptation. Technology is the tool. To enhance action on mitigation, we need technology and we need finance. And in order to do that, we have to be able to link technology support that's going to come out from the Copenhagen package as a way to support action on NAMAS and to support action on national adaptation plan. This has to be a very clear link. And also, a party are very much concur, I would say, during the last negotiation in the field on the issue about cooperative R&D. Some thinking about maybe invest on R&D in developing country could be a way out to kind of sharing IPR issue. And some said it's not a bad, not a good idea. Let's stay away from it. And emerging proposal from party advocated by India and supported by a lot of parties is the issue of setting up the technology innovation centers in the region and make it networking so that all these centers can work and promote tech transfer, including capacity building and also research and development as well. Now, I'm just trying to quote the term of tech transfer under the IPCC and tech transfer under WIPO. What does it mean, these two issues? And now, as mentioned by Yuka already this morning, there are a number of options on IP issue already in the current negotiating text that we need to be to handle. There are some, you can see it if you look into clearly, option one is from what party and option two is mainly from different country parties. And many times that in the negotiation that party make reference to the IP arrangement in the medicine field, and also try to ask or advocate us to replicate that kind of success story on medicine. But some say that medicine is a small scale, and this technology under climate change is larger, and you cannot actually, one doesn't fit all, so it's not really possible that we can solely use the approach from medicine and come or public health to come to this. And the issue about LDC in the ask for exempt for patent for LDC country. Then how to address IP issue under the UNFCCC? That's why I'm here. I'm not the IP expert, and I like to learn and to hear, maybe from tomorrow, that what attract me, that a lot of people from other process going to inform us about the how they handle IP in the food issue, in the agriculture, how to handle IP in the medicines and other process. So let's see how we're going to take some lesson learned from that process and bring it to to help inform the UNFCCC process and how to better understand the concern of both developing country and developed country. As we heard a lot this morning, we need to fly a deal and balance. I'm not sure if there is a balance in this kind of world, that a neutral, we can be neutral, everything, walk out from Copenhagen, very happy, we get a balance deal on IP. It's not gonna happen. It could be a very painful agreement, in my view, that no one going to smile when we walk away with a deal, whatever we get. Those who lose, we get angry. And those we gain, we say, it's not enough. I don't like it. You know, we need more. No one could be happy. This is an unhappy issue of the UNFCCC. It has been, and some even ask, how this issue make its way into a negotiating text? Who propose it? Who draft it? How it be there? The point is, in the process, we make it so transparent. So we invite all proposals from parties, and we receive thousands of pages of, and the chair instruction is that put everything in, include every proposal, whether it's readable, is not implementable, whatever, put it in, because we have no right and we are not negotiating yet. So put everything in and see how we're going to approach the issue. The issue, that's why I'm going to, there are some ongoing attempt within a really little small group that try to bring the discussion of IP into the process with very cautious and mindful step. Last session, we organized a joint site event between UNFCCC Secretariat and WIPO in the last session in SB 30 session in June. I got a mixed feedback. One party, a lot of party from developing country and also the South IGO, including the Third World Network, said, "When one excellent idea, very balanced presentation, we should do more. It's very good." I have another one sit on another corner, look at me like, "Don't do it again. Never do it again. We don't like it. Don't talk about it in the process." Let's see how we're going to fly up a balance. We know that IP is an incentive. No one deny that. The innovation, the people who pay for R&D, they have the right to keep the right on their property, on the technology that they spend a lot of time to research on it. We need to give them as an incentive for promote a new technologies. At the same time, how are we going to balance the incentive for innovator with the obligation of parties? Technology transfer is not issue of morality, is not issue of charity. We were told many times by the key negotiator from G7 that this is an obligation and commitment issue under the certain article of the convention. So we need to find a balance between obligation and incentive for creator. That's why in the last session, also the expert group on technology transfer bring and invite an expert from the WIPO to the expert group to make a presentation, to brief, to inform the expert about the issues, and also have an informal dialogue with the WBCSD, World Business Assessment Council, for Central Development, and have an informal dialogue talk with ETT. In a way, is a lot of composed of a lot of organization and as well as the key negotiator in the process as well. So we have a very good exchange of view, because there's no way you can find this kind of debate in the negotiation. It's so tense about negotiation, about politics. But when you talk to business, you know reality, how to bring this issue into reality and to make it practical. And someone said this morning that we have to go beyond business as usual scenario. We cannot go as it is as before. And I heard this morning people said about this isn't for change. I'm almost done. Don't cough.
I think I'm having a headache already, coughing.
Okay, the last slide I'm going to say is that technology in the Copenhagen Agreement, we need to enhance action. Copenhagen deal, we need to include technology transfer. IPR-related issues have been discussed in the process in a very theoretical manner. We need to bring it to reality. And what I would like to hear here, or work in the future time with WIPO expert on this issue is to try to find a way to read those four pages in the current negotiating text, streamline it, and come up with a very text that everybody at least can consider, willing to consider. And very much I want to hear is, what is the role of the UNFCCC in this kind of, in my view, alien world on IP? Thank you, Mr. Chair.